It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Foods branded as organic or natural are all over the grocery store. The Organic Trade Association says in its new industry report that organic shoppers have stayed loyal and the industry continues to grow.
Here in Wisconsin, organic food production includes over 1,400 farms spanning hundreds of thousands of acres, producing organic milk, cranberries, maple syrup, among many other products.
But how do you know that when you buy organic, you're actually getting organic food? The U.S. Department of Agriculture has updated its regulations to protect the integrity of this marketplace. Jennifer Tucker is the deputy administrator of the USDA's National Organic Program, overseeing certifications of all organic farms and producers. Jennifer, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It is great to be here. Thank you.
Wisconsin has the second highest number of organic farms in the country, trailing only California, and that data is from 2022. Can you give us some perspective here? How large is the organic food industry now?
You know, the organic industry continues to grow. The Organic Trade Association recently announced that it is now over $69 billion in sales in the United States. So consumers continue to reach out and pick that organic label when they're out there shopping.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think shoppers are continuing to build and grow on organic?
Often why people will select organic. It is a climate smart food solution. It emphasizes natural processes and minimal use of synthetics. Genetic engineering and GMOs are not allowed. Organic agriculture really works with the environment. It supports soil and water health and biodiversity. And those are reasons why many consumers choose those organic products.
So with those choices, though, the USDA recently strengthened its enforcement of organic foods. What problems was the Agriculture Department seeing that led to these changes?
Organic, because it has been so successful, has continued to grow. And any time a system grows, any time a market grows and becomes more complex, like the organic market has, it needs to be strengthened. I think that's true across industries. As an industry grows, it needs more protections, more strength. We have products coming into the United States from around the world. From organic farms that are certified to the USDA standard. And so one of the clear benefits of our new rules is it protects those imports. So we know that that commodities coming into the country are produced with those same climate smart benefits as products produced here in the United States. So any organic product you buy around the world needs to follow those same standards. And we needed the new rules to further protect those supply chains so that when you reach out and select that organic product, you know it is what we say it is.
Can you take a tour for us through some of those standards and what certified to USDA standards means, what is considered an organic food?
So what does it mean to be organic? You know, I talked about some of those a bit earlier. You know, sort of climate smart solution, no genetic engineering, no GMOs, working with the environment to support soil and water health. There are also many protections across the supply chain. So for example, you would be surprised how much math is required to protect organic integrity. And so for example, let's talk about a granola bar or cereal. It has oats and almonds and dried cranberries and maybe chocolate bits. If that granola bar is organic, all of those ingredients need to be organic. And that means that from the time that the seed is planted on the farm all the way through the packaging of that organic product, that product needed to be traced. We need to make sure that there isn't more product leaving the farm as organic than is possible to grow on that farm. And we need to make sure that when that warehouse or when that processing facility takes in a certain volume of organic oats and further processes them, that no more product is leaving that facility than came in labeled as organic. Tracing those supply chains is one of those promises of organic, that we can trace organic product from farm to table. That's one of the benefits of the organic standards. Traceability is an important part of the organic regulation. So those are a couple of examples of how organic works across complex supply chains.
Bring in the farmer here and the producer and that process that happens for farms to become certified organic, as you talk about the traceability here. How do farms get into the system?
I have so much respect for organic farmers and those who have really made that investment. Consumers, I think, benefit from knowing just the care and investment those organic farmers have made. If you're going to grow crops, for example, that land needs to have gone through a three-year transition period with no prohibited substances. So there's a very limited number of synthetic substances that farms can use to provide sort of fertility and pest control and all of those things. It's a very rigorously controlled organic control system. So farmers need to do crop rotations. They need to do pest management. They need to effectively manage soil fertility. So many practices that are outlined in those standards that are public that anyone can go and read. Farmers choosing into that system have a reduced use of synthetic pesticides and herbicides. They are putting in place natural resource protection. They're protecting biodiversity. It is truly a labor of love to get into organic and then maintain that certification. They document all of that in an organic system plan, and every organic farm is inspected at least once a year. So an inspector comes out, looks at what the farmer said they were going to do, aligned with the standards, and then make sure that they did that. And so all that math we talked about before is part of that inspection and making sure the farmer did not sell more as organic than it was possible to grow as organic on that farm. So it's a lot of work. And those who invest in that type of system, we have a lot of respect for the work that they do and want to support them in any way we can.
I have heard that sentiment that there's intensive paperwork, intensive documentation for the farmer in going certified organic and staying that way, that it's administratively labor intensive. What do you make of that assessment?
There is certainly an added layer of record keeping that is part of the organic system. Organic farmers who are getting into the system learn those processes early on, and most report that kind of once you get it down and you understand what is needed, it is actually, it is part of being a good, strong business is doing that record keeping. So being part of a strong organic business is record keeping becomes a natural part of running the business, just like all of those practice standards elements that we talked about. We are making investments in helping organic farmers get into that process. We've recently, for example, published what we call a transitional producer plan. So producers can start to learn about how to do that record keeping in a way that documents how they are compliant and makes it a little bit of an easier on-ramp into that process.
Oh, almost like a mentors in a way for organic farms that have done this, being able to share how a roadmap in a way?
Exactly. Our Transition to Organic Partnership Program, also called TOP, has a really specific focus on matching mentors and mentees. So farmers who have been through this, who are already part of the organic community, are really teaching the new organic farmers that want to get into the market how to do this. It's really one of the things I appreciate about the organic community is how supportive they are are of each other's success. It truly is a community in the true sense of the word. And mentoring is an important part of that. There are other forms of technical assistance as well to give people a leg up. Doing organic in the Southeast, for example, is really different from doing organic in Wisconsin. But all of those farmers are held to and have to implement the same standards. And I think that's another unique part of the seal, is that it is a set of standards where you look at that seal and there is a common definition of those standards, and yet it can be applied across many, many, many different environments and different kinds of farms.
We're exploring how organic food is regulated and the impact on Wisconsin's organic fields and producers. And we have Jennifer Tucker with us, Deputy Administrator of the Agricultural Marketing Service National Organic Program at the USDA. Jennifer, with all of these standards and steps and documentation, are there enough inspectors to monitor all of the organic farms?
That's something we take very, very seriously. Many consumers may not know that organic is actually a distributed model. It's a public-private partnership where we at the USDA level authorize different organizations to go out and certify organic farms. And it's those certification agencies that hire inspectors and reviewers. So not only the inspectors out on the fields, but also the reviewers in the office that are reviewing all the materials and all the record keeping before the inspector even goes out. Part of the Transition to Organic Partnership Program, which is assisting those transitioning farms, is also supporting the inspectors and compliance specialists in learning the regulations. We have invested in a human capital initiative for organic to help inspectors through mentoring programs and apprenticeship programs. And it's something that certifiers take very seriously. There's also a part of the regulations related to what's called administrative capacity. And certification agencies aren't allowed to work in areas where they don't have adequate inspectors. And so we're all working on continuing to develop both the number and diversity of organic inspectors. It's amazing what we expect from an organic inspector, and training them, because they really are the certifier's voice on the ground, is so, so important.
Are there some common violations that your agency sees in the production of organic food?
The most common complaint that we get at the program is actually about uncertified operations that are selling as organic, and that's against the rules. And so we take quick action when we get those complaints to notify the business that we confirm the fact that they are selling as organic without certification, make sure there isn't some glitch in the system or something, and they really are certified. And often they'll reply with, "Ooh, I didn't even know I needed to be certified," and they correct the problem by getting certified. Often they'll pay a small civil penalty because they made money off of selling as organic. And that's not fair to farms who have paid to be certified. And so that's actually the most common violation we see, is uncertified operations selling as organic. And we quickly act to get them into the system or out of the organic game.
Have farmers and producers had any difficulty or any delays getting their inspections done or keeping those inspections going?
There's been a high demand for organic certification, and that's something we regularly check in with our certification agencies. You know, what is the waiting period right now? Mm-hmm. When does this happen? It's a delicate balance. We want to make sure that a farm is fully compliant before they are certified, so that consumers, again, can continue to trust that product. This is actually a benefit of that public-private partnership, is that certifiers, if they have more clients, can hire more inspectors to go out and do those inspections. So we certainly keep an eye on how long certification takes. When people have done the record keeping, when people have described their systems well, and an inspector is able to get out on the farm quickly, it can go faster than if there's a lot of complexity and the application doesn't really describe those practices in depth.
Does this new strengthen program, these new rules, come with additional cost burdens, especially for small producers?
Great question. The rule was specifically written not to overburden small producers. I think many times members of the public don't necessarily follow in depth the rulemaking process. And so I think it's worth kind of zooming out a little bit. Anytime we do an organic rule, cost is a huge element of what we're considering, is making sure that when we're putting provisions in place, understanding who they're going to impact and how that impacts the customer. And so with strengthening organic enforcement, we were very, very careful to make that what we call a risk-based rule, meaning that the costs of that rule are really falling on the higher risk parts of the supply chain. And so, for example, if you have product that's being exported from another country to the United States, you now need an import certificate to bring that into the United States. That's one of the larger provisions of the new rule, and it's actually one of the more expensive. Another provision in the rule is all importers now must be certified. So before, you could be bringing in organic product into the country and not yourself be certified. And that was causing some problems because we weren't getting the farm to table traceability we needed because there were uncertified entities. So that's actually the bulk of the cost of the rule, is having a certification handshake across the border so we can very clearly connect importers and exporters in the organic supply chain. It costs some money for those folks to get certified, and the cost of generating import certificate, which is really needed for us to understand what's coming into the country so we can better protect our farmers here at home who are playing by the rules.
Since we're talking about costs, I want to run this by you, because we're seeing the ongoing effects of inflation at, you know, grocery shopping is more expensive. And you watch the organic industry so closely. Are the higher prices for items affecting the organic industry as shoppers decide, you know, what they can afford to buy and what they can't?
The Organic Trade Association's numbers on U.S. sales suggest the sales continue to go up. So consumers are continuing to make choices at the grocery store that include organic in that basket. And so, you know, what folks choose to buy is a very personal decision. My job is to protect that seal. So if they decide to reach out and pick that organic product, whether it's less expensive, equally expensive, or more expensive than the conventional product, that they can trust that that product truly has those organic attributes that are laid out in the standard. So again, we strongly consider costs when we are writing rules, and the market has different factors that come to play in those pricings. Ultimately, it comes down to that very personal choice for consumers.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jennifer. We appreciate it.
I've enjoyed being here. Thanks so much for having me.
That is Jennifer Tucker, Deputy Administrator of the Agricultural Marketing Service National Organic Program that oversees the certified organic label.
Our June member drive is just around the corner. This year, it's all happening in one action-packed day.
Your gift right now will really help ensure you and your neighbors have access to independent, high-quality content on WPR.
Now is a great time to give. When 500 people make a donation before Thursday, a group of generous members is going to add in an extra $10,000.
And there's still room for your gift right now at wpr.org/donate. That's wpr.org/donate.